did you travel with Caesar on the boycott?
In 1969, we went on the boycott when, in fact, it was around there when I was going one of my crazy times. Remember, I was Mr. Kiefer. What was Mr. Kiefer? Was he the accountant or what was?
He was a CPA. He was an accountant.
Yeah. And so he was changing the membership records. I remember that that one time he changed it up to three different. First, he put it in a ledger. We used to have cards. Then he put in a ledger. Then he put in a smaller ledger. And so I was going crazy because I do the whole work and then he would change it. And so Caesar had left with his security guards, Manuel Urandi, Ray Olivas, Mac Lyons, and Freddie Calio, the little Filipino. He went to Canada first. And then when you were talking to him, and telling him how crazy it was or whatever. And I don't know if you were telling him that I was going crazy, but I was acting weird. So he said that we had to go, that the wives had to go and meet them. So we left, and I didn't want to go. It was the first time that I was ever going to be away from my kids, and I didn't want to go. Anyway, I was on the way over. Diana Lyons was the one that drove. We used to drive, but we didn't drive. Esther Olivas and I used to drive, but we didn't drive that time. We left early, really early. We left at 5 o'clock in the morning one day with Diana, and we stopped in Albuquerque. Our first stop.
Who was going? Who was in the car?
Diana Lyons, Helen Chavez, Esther Olivas, and myself, the four of us, the four wives of the security guards. And we stopped in Albuquerque. It was the first stop. Anyway, when we got to Albuquerque, they were having a party for us, supporters or I guess they were supporters. They were having a party for us, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning. When we got there, everybody was drunk. Everybody was all drunk. And we told them that we wanted to go to bed right away because we had to get up early in the morning and go to another city early in the morning, that it was too late for us to be partying. So they put us in a bedroom. There's a bathroom in between the two bedrooms, but the bathroom to our bedroom was not didn't lock. So Helen and I got a sleeping bag, slept on the floor with our feet to the door so that we could hold it in case somebody wanted to come in. And Alice and Diana were sleeping on the bed. And so, yeah, sure enough, we didn't sleep all night because Helen was all upset. We didn't sleep all night because they kept coming. Well, looked like the door was kept wanting to come in. Somebody wanted to come in. And so Helen got up and says, "Let's get the hell out of here. Get up, Diana. Let's get the hell out." So we left. We got up and Diana, get dressed. We slept with our clothes on. Diana didn't. And so we took off and left straight on to Oklahoma City. It was our next stop. So our next stop, Diana was, when we got to Oklahoma City, Diana was sick. She had been driving up all night and she was, I don't know. Anyway, she was sick. So Helen said, "I don't want to stay anywhere else. Let's rent a motel room. I don't want to stay anywhere. I want to get some sleep." So she stayed there while Esther Olivas and I went and got something to eat and brought him back something. And she stayed there taking care of Diana. And then afterwards, the following morning, we left to go to St. Louis, Missouri, where the Laras were, Ramon Lara and his family. They were there. And then after that, we got to the next town was Chicago. That's where we met them. But when I was on the trip all the way going from here, I was thinking of my kids and crying and going crazy. So when I got to Chicago, then Caesar saw me and says, "What's wrong with Esther?" And no, she's crying. She left the kids and all this. Well, he got on the phone right away and called my mother-in-law's house and got the kids to talk to me and all this. And then he sent for his doctor, Dr. Jorge Prieto in Chicago. He sent for him. The doctor came over, talked to me, gave me a shot. And next day I was ready to go. Next day we had assignments. He gave us assignments, what we were going to do. We were going to he was going to go speak wherever he spoke, and we would take care of the money. You know, whatever collections were done, then we were in charge of it, count it, and then bank it, and whatever. We didn't do the collections. Somebody else did the collections. They'd bring all everything to me in Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets.
Do you remember the amounts of money sometimes collected?
I know, I don't, you know.
Was it a lot of money?
I don't remember, Leroy, you know. I don't remember.
Hundreds of dollars? Or?
No, it was probably thousands, no. Yeah. And it was every night at 2,000, 3,000 maybe.
Because of that many people, huh?
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the places, yeah. Yeah, and I remember there was one time that we went to in Davenport, Iowa. I don't know if they were talking at one time of keeping the money, and so I heard him, and I told Caesar, and so they had a meeting with whoever was in charge. But we got it. But we had assignments, so he assigned us, and so that's what we did. But during the day, you know, he'd ask us, what do you want to do today? And so we'd tell him what we wanted to do, or he'd say, do you want to go, today we can go to the museum, or we can go to the zoo, what do you want to do? And then we'd say, Helen and I would say, we want to go to the zoo. And then he'd take us to the museum. We'd go to the museum. It was better for us. Or we can go to a theater. You want to go see a show or something? And Helen's favorite actor at the time was Paul Newman. So we saw a movie theater where a Paul Newman movie was playing. And he said, Helen says, I want to go see Paul Newman. And then he says, okay. So then we'd go, and we wound up in a Mexican theater where we were going to go in free. And the Three Stooges were playing in Spanish. And so I got all upset. I said, I don't even like the Three Stooges in English, much less in Spanish. I told Manuel, and I walked out of the theater, and then Manuel came out to the car, and he says, what's wrong with you? Caesar's going to get, I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to see the Three Stooges. Anyway, it was always different. We always wound up doing what he wanted to do. Or we'd a place to eat. Where do you want to go? Let's stop at one restaurant and eat something. And then he says, okay. But then we'd stop at a store and he'd get sandwich meat, bread, and, you know, all the stuff. And then we'd park the car somewhere and we'd make sandwiches. And so that's the way it went all through the trip. When we left Chicago to go to, I guess it was the Twin Cities where we were going next. And there was a woman that told us where we were staying, a supporter's house, and she had each bedroom was done different. I remember that. And then she says, let's go to the store. It was snowing. So went to the store, and then she bought Helen some boots, some snow boots. So it was different. It was such an enjoyable. It was enjoyable.
How long were you away?
1 month. 1 month.
Uh-huh. And the same day, a meeting every night, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
That Caesar had these, they were like rallies, huh?
Yes, they were like rallies, and we went, then Mac Lyons was the one that brought up something about us going on a fast. So we didn't want to go on a fast. Some of us didn't want to go on a fast, and so they wanted to, so we went on a fast. And when we got to, I think it was Austin, when we got to Austin, Texas, there was a Mrs. Garcia, and I never knew what her first name was. Anyway, they had organized the whole block of food that they'd been, and nobody ever told them that we were on a fast. So they had all this food when we got there. And so then we told them we couldn't eat because we were in a fast. So then she was, Mrs. Garcia was drinking beer, and then she said, she told me something. She saw that I liked beer. Anyway, she says, well, you're on a liquid fast. You can drink beer. So then I started drinking beer with her, and pretty soon we were dancing, and so Mayo says, what's wrong with you? Always scolding me because I did things different. Anyway, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be in a fast. And, well, it's a liquid fast, just like she says, so it's all right to drink beer. Beer's liquid.
Why were you fasting?
I don't know. And I don't know if Caesar had put him up to it, but Mac was the one that suggested it.
And everyone did it?
Uh-huh.
Everyone on the trip?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how long did the fast last?
When we got to someplace in Arizona, and Thanksgiving, we got to a certain place in, I don't know if it was Phoenix or where, and we got to Arizona. And so Max says, okay, Max was hungry. He wanted to eat. And so then we said, no, we're not going to eat until later. It's not time yet. So we made him wait. And then afterwards, we couldn't eat anyway. There was this all this food that they had brought in, turkey and everything, and we couldn't eat. Yeah, so.
Well, how many days do you think you fasted?
Well, let's see, I think it was after Dallas, because when we stopped at Dallas, Mac was saying he wanted to stop in Dallas because we just had to taste his mom's sweet potato pie, that she made the best sweet potato pie. So we stopped in Dallas to visit his mother, and we had sweet potato pie. So it was when I think it was after that then they suggested we go on a fast. So it was from Austin, that, you know, let's see, Austin to Arizona. But I don't know, because it was just thinking about it right now. We got to El Paso. When we got to El Paso, we were at a motel in El Paso, and then Caesar suggested we go over the border to Juarez because he wanted us to taste cabrito, which was a small, what's cabrito, small goat or something like that, that they had the best cabrito there, and he wanted us to taste it. So I don't know, maybe how we could go on a fast and we're going to eat cabrito. Anyway, Mac and Diana stayed in the motel room. They didn't go to Juarez. And it was in Texas. We went down to San Juan too, and then it was in Texas in what was Del Rio. We stopped in Del Rio, Texas. The mayor was. We stopped at the mayor's. We stayed at the mayor's house. We went to. There was a girl that they were bringing across from Mexico. She would come in every day to work there at their house, and she was getting paid $12 a week, I think it was. $12 a week, and then she was going to the store. They sent her to the store, and Helen said we were going with her, and then the mayor's wife said, no. No, you can't go with her. And Helen says, yeah, we want to go with her. We want to go to the store too. So we went to the store, and then when we were to the store, Helen was talking to her and telling her about that she shouldn't be working for $12 for $12 a week. I think that was what it was, $12 a week that she was getting paid. American money. But she was crossing the border every day. Yes, to come and do housework for the mayor's wife.
So that would have been what year? That was 1969.
That was 1969. That was.
Boy, that was a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that was some trip.
Okay. What about? What else do you want to talk about, Esther? you have any stories that you want to...
I wanted to talk about, let's see, I guess I wanted to talk about or mention something about the Filipino brothers. Mostly because, you know, they were good friends of ours. They were always there. They were all, in their years, I guess. I wanted to talk about Mariano Santiago. Was the very first one that always stuck in my mind. Mariano used to be probably about, let's say how old he was. He was old, I remember, in 1965 when I first met him there at Filipino Hall. And he used to be in charge of, he'd stand in a podium that they had at the Filipino Hall right before you went into the kitchen where we went and served ourselves. And he would have his podium there where we would all have to write our names every time we went to eat. And he was very indignant. He always, you know, you have to write your name. And he didn't say too much, but he'd get upset. And so we had to write our name. Anyway, he became good friends with Helen and I. And he would eat. He always had his food, his little, a small plate of, and this is what stands out in my mind, a small plate of white steamed rice with a few orange slices on top. This was his everyday meal. Every day he would eat that. And I'd ask him, don't you want anything else? No, this is all I eat. And I remember later on, after I was working in the village, I mean in the clinic, and he went to the clinic one day and he said he wanted to talk to me. And he said that he felt that he didn't have too long to live, that he was going back to the Philippines because he, feeling like he was feeling, he didn't have that long to live and he wanted to go die in the Philippines. And so I talked to him for a while, but then he did leave. And later on I asked some of the Filipino brothers, he says, oh, it wasn't long after he arrived there that he died. So that always stuck in my mind, that one. But it was like Mao. We used to call him Mao, Catalino Tacliban, who was the nicest person he wouldn't say too much, but he always, whenever we used to go to the village after they moved into the Agbayani village, he would always be happy to see us, and he would always just bring in, he knew that we used to like sweets, he'd bring out some bread or some apple pie or whatever and put it right in front of us.